Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
Hope you're well today. I hope you are ready for God to speak to you, to minister to your heart. And those of you in the room, I pray that this would not just be another message, because we have them all the time. We can easily go and download a podcast and download the latest, greatest message from Stephen Furtick or Craig Rochelle or Joseph Prince or whoever. But at the end of the day, the Word of God is true. The Word of God brings life, it brings hope, and it brings clarity to our situation. So wherever you are, if you're watching from your living room for work, if you're here in the room, why don't you just stretch your hands open like this, like a cup, waiting to receive. He wants to impart something to us, something of power, something of hope, of light and life. And Father, right now, we invite you to come. Come and speak to us in a new way, Lord. Let us see beyond the current situations that are going on around us or in our world or in our nation. Let us look to you, Father. You offer something so much greater than what life is offering us right now. You offer peace and love and light and life. And so right now, we ask you for it. We receive it. In the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. And you who's online said, amen. Well, if you're in the room, you can take a seat. It's lovely to see you today. It's lovely to be together again here in our chapel service. Beautiful. Well, listen, over the last few weeks, we have been on this beautiful, incredible series called Snakes and Ladders. We've learned from God's word and practical teaching from John and Steve, who have just been dropping gold. Come on, let's give those guys an amazing thank you for what they have imparted and invested through the word of God. And you know, we've learned that snakes, the actual snake can have the potential to pull us down in so many ways that God had never designed for us to be pulled down to those places. A snake can pull us down, and yet a ladder can build us up. A ladder can pull us up into everything that God has in store for every single one of our lives. Today, I'm hopeful that we will continue on this journey, that we will continue with the Word of God and allow it to challenge our thinking, to challenge mindsets, to challenge us and encourage us on the journey to keep taking steps forward in the right direction. I don't know about you, but I want to keep taking steps forward in the right direction. Does anyone else want to take steps forward in the right direction? Ain't nobody got time to take steps backward. Ain't nobody got time to take a step to the side and kind of pull yourself out of the mix altogether. It's time to take a step forward. Stepping forward. So Snakes and Ladders is a game that I actually haven't played since I was a child. Okay, that was many, 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 many years ago. No, not that long ago. Did you believe that? It's not that long ago, people. Just a few years. So the one thing that I can remember is playing the game of Snakes and Ladders. We called it Chutes and Ladders in America. But I actually was a sore loser. Any sore losers watching today? Any sore losers in the room today? Well, I was actually a sore, sore loser. So what I thought is I would probably, the only way that I can feel what it feels like again to play Snakes and Ladders is I thought, well, maybe I'll purchase the game and then I'll get my kids to play it and see how they respond in their childhood. So why don't you take a look to the screen and check out what happens when children play Snakes and Ladders.
It is. It is.
Yeah. Okay, poor little Jesse. Poor little Jesse. He was devastated. We walked in on Sunday night after church, and all I can hear was him screaming. I'm thinking, what is going on? I walk in the room. They're playing the game of snakes and ladders, and obviously he had to slide down the snake all the way to the beginning, and he was just distraught. He couldn't even gather up the courage enough to just go back on the game. So it reminded me, actually, I was like, oh, that reminds me of me when I was a little kid. And like mother, like son. And so as hilarious as that clip of my son Justice is, you know, some of us actually can respond to those feelings of setback. We can respond like my little Jesse responded, just sliding down that snake. Maybe it's a snake of lies. Maybe it's a snake of defeat and pain, a snake of insecurity. We've all been there. My son Justice, he actually can't fully understand, because he's 5 years old, he can't fully understand that failure isn't final. Can you? Can you understand that? That failure isn't final? And as long as he stays on the board game, right? As long as he stays on the game, even if he's back to square one, he's still in the game to win. As long as you stay on that board game and don't take yourself out and don't get so upset and screaming and throwing tantrums at life's devastating moments and at those setbacks in our life that the snakes have potential to pull us back into, that we take ourselves off of the game completely. Stay on the game. Stay on it so you can win, so we can win. When I look a little bit closely and observe this fun little board game called Snakes and Ladders, my creative mind just kind of like, I need, the funniest thing is I had a prop and it was the actual game. But guess what? The one thing I forgot to bring today, the game, the prop. And I'm like, you know, those head plans of like, I can't believe it. Anyways, I forgot the game, but I have a visual which will help you as we continue on. But I suddenly realized that Snakes and Ladders is really a glimpse of what life can be like. And it brings to remembrance in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. It says this, I call heaven and earth to witness you today. I have put before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. When the scriptures state that God puts life and death before us, it's not telling us to decide whether we live or die, but that every choice we make from birth to death matters. Every choice that you make today actually matters. It matters to you and it matters to God. Life is like a game of snakes and ladders. I've just come to that realization that life is like not a box of chocolates, like a game of snakes and ladders. You never know what you're gonna get, right? You never know what you're gonna get. It's a game of choice and opportunities, setbacks and disappointments that present themselves to us on a daily basis. For instance, the first thing, oh, they brought me the game of snakes and ladders. Oh, see, look at that. God heard. He knows and he cares. Thanks, guys. That's very beautiful. How am I going to even fit this up here? Okay, anyways. So with the game of snakes and ladders, it can represent so many areas of our life. And I kind of decided on choosing four of these areas. The first thing that it can represent in our lives is the player, you and me. Okay? Every game of snakes and ladders has a player. If you can see on the screen, it's the little tiny whatever color they're going to be. You choose whatever color. My kids end up fighting for, I don't know, whatever color they both want. But you're the player. You're the player. And when you get on that board, your life represents the purpose that God has planned out for you from 1 to 100. That is your purpose. You are the player designed for a purpose to run and to finish the race. I read a quote the other day. It says, the mystery of human existence lies not in just staying alive, but in finding something to live for. What is your purpose? You are the player. Are you living it out? 2 Timothy 1:9 says this, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purposes and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. You are the player. I am the player. Get on the board. Live out the purpose that God has planned for every single one of our lives. The second thing is the roll of the dice. You can see the little dice there. You know, sometimes we're wishing for a double six because we think it's going to get us further in life. But what rolls out is all about risk. You can wish for it to be a double five, or you commit, you know, you know that you're going to go up a ladder and you want those a two and a one because you know that three is going to get you up the ladder. That is risk. That is faith. It requires faith. John spoke about taking a risk on Sunday in the stretch, right? Are you trusting God with your dice? Are you trusting God, having a positive expectation of something good? Positive expectation, having the faith and the hope to believe that something good is on its way, even in the setbacks. I read another quote. I love quotes. The biggest risk a person can take is to do nothing. Did you know that? Oh, I wish I could. Oh, I wish I would have done that. Oh, have you ever lived in those moments? I wish I should have, could have, would have. The biggest risk is doing nothing. What are you prepared to do? Hebrews 11, 1-3 says this, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. What are you putting your faith in today? When you roll that dice, are you hoping and trusting that God will make a way where there seems to be no way? The third thing is this. Is it the ladder? We can see that there's ladders on that board. What is the ladder representing in our lives? The ladder is the help that comes along the journey. Who's ever had those ladders in life when everything seems to be at a loss and then a ladder suddenly appears? And you feel like you can breathe again, and you feel like you can hope again and dream again. It's a means of escape. It was for me when I was 13 years old and my godparents rescued me from an abusive home life. That was my ladder, and I am eternally grateful. Papa Ted and Lana, I am eternally grateful for what you did for me. The ladder is a means of escape. You cannot climb the ladder to success dressed in the costume of failure. You cannot do it. You cannot do it on your own. Romans 5:6 says this, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die, right? But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for you and he died for me. That is my ladder. Knowing that someone would die for me, give his life for me. That is what the ladder represents in our lives, our helper, our advocate, our friend. He sticks closer than a brother. He's not only our king and our master, but he's our friend. And he wants to sit with us, and he wants to talk with us, and he wants to walk with us. Would you climb that ladder today? The fourth thing is the snake. Ooh, that dirty snake. Snake that hinders us. The snake is actually a hindrance in my life. You saw what my son just lost the plot because he was hindered from moving forward. And he couldn't get past the pain of the setback. The hindrance snake that represents our setbacks and our failures. And the key hindrance to growth is disappearing. The key hindrance to your growth and my growth is disappearing. You know, I said earlier, simply coming off the board altogether. I might as well not try. Because there's snakes all over. What are you looking at on the board of snakes and ladders? Just the snakes? Because that's all you'll see is failure, disappointment. The world is against me. That's not how God's called us to live today. He's called us to live with hope and expectation. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around or slithers around like a snake and like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. You see, just like snakes and ladders, we can recognize purpose. We can recognize the risk on the board. We can recognize the help which comes from that ladder. But unless we recognize the hindered snake, our adversary, we will keep living our lives insecure, inadequate, and unloved. It even has the potential, like I said earlier, to wipe you off the board game of life completely. This hindered snake has hurt many, many people and is still hurting people today, including me. John asked me to speak 3 weeks ago. When I was sitting there, I had no idea, but he said, Chantel's going to speak on the snake of rejection. I'm like, am I? Am I really? I sat there and I thought, how can I speak on the snake of rejection? How can I speak on rejection? I've been going through so much myself. And literally in my hands, I was reading, not sitting there, but this past few months, I've been reading the books on the root of rejection and the purpose-driven life. Okay, if you have never read these books, please read them, by Joyce Meyer and Rick Warren. But I'm sitting there going, I don't know what to say. And I'm reading a book on the root of rejection. The enemy tried to take me out for 3 weeks. And I said to John, I can't. I don't have anything to say. And John's like, I'll speak for you. I'm like, oh yeah. And he did speak a very powerful word. Then the next week, Steve came in. He's like, oh, I'm speaking this Tuesday. I'm like, yeah, you are. You're totally speaking this Tuesday. I got out of it. But this week, I'm not getting out of it anymore. I'm speaking on the snake of rejection. Because rejection has not only damaged me, rejection has damaged you. It's damaged everyone in this room. It has had the potential to take us off that board game of life completely and destroy our very existence. But not today. Not today. Someone say, not today. Not today. You know, rejection means to cast aside, to throw away, to put aside. Have you ever felt cast aside? Have you ever felt like you just thrown away like a piece of dirt? Have you ever felt that? I have. And I come to realize that rejection at the root simply means misplaced identity, where someone else has the potential to make or break who you are. Misplaced identity. I vividly remember when I was 5 years old And my father left when I was 3, but when I was 5 years old, I would cry to my mom and say, Mommy, I just want to see my dad. I want to see daddy. Why did he leave? I don't understand. And can I see him? Can I see him? And I just begged her and begged her and begged her. And finally, she knew in her mind what would happen, but she needed me to go through whatever I needed to go through to understand that daddy wouldn't be there for me, which was painful at 5 years old. So I got on my pretty little pink dress. I got in the car. My mom's like, I'll take you. So she took me, drove me to my dad's house. She opened the car, the passenger door for me. I got out. She was in the car waiting for me as I walked up the front garden. And I knocked on my father's door. And I knocked. 5 minutes, I stood there. And I kept knocking. 10 minutes. 15. I kept knocking. 30 minutes went by. And I kept knocking. Finally, as I was about to walk away, I could see someone opening the curtain window, almost just at a peek. You know when someone's peeking at you? I know you're there. My dad peeked out the window, thinking that I wouldn't be able to see him, but I saw him. And just when I thought he would open the window completely and open the door, he just closed it again. And in that moment, I made up in my mind that my own dad wasn't going to love me. So why was I worth loving with anyone? Who's going to love me now? I wasn't pretty enough. I wasn't cute enough. Maybe it was my dress. I don't know. And by the age of 7, I started to believe that I was a rejected child. I started to believe that I was worthless. I started to believe, because you know, those belief systems in every single one of us are formed by the age of 7. And by the age of 7, I had already formed that belief system that I was unwanted, unloved. And so what I did was I wore a blanket of rejection. Unintentionally, I just wore it. And I walked around believing that I was unloved. You see, the truth is that when God created Adam, he placed a desire inside of him to be loved, accepted, and appreciated. And that desire was that Adam would want love, acceptance, and appreciation only from God. But when sin came in, we rejected God and his ways, and the door was open to the defeated one. So, now we look for love, acceptance, and appreciation from everyone else but God. And that's when the trouble begins. Just a little rejection, Joyce Meyer says this so beautifully, just a little rejection can cause a wound to the soul that will open a door. In the book, The Root of Rejection, Joyce Meyer also helps us identify some, not all, of the causes and results of rejection. You can write some of these down if you want. Some causes of rejection, the roots: unwanted conception, a child born with defects, learning, physical disabilities, comparison to another sibling, abandonment, adoption, death of one or more parents, peer rejection, turmoil within the home, marriage rejection, unfaithfulness or divorce, are some causes of rejection. And then others, results of rejection, is this, the fruit. And some of you can probably say amen to some of these, because I have. Some of the results of rejection, the fruits that come out of our life, right? Rebellion, anger, bitterness, hopelessness, inferiority, poor self-image, judgmentalism, fear of all types, defensiveness, hardness, jealousy. Do you see how rejection is a snake? Do you see how rejection is a snake? A venomous, poisonous, constricting snake. that will hinder you from reaching your full potential. It's not some cute little snake that appears on a board game of snakes and ladders where they've got cute little googly eyes. No. No, our adversary doesn't have cute googly eyes. It's not a cute little board game snake. It's a dangerous, demonic snake of the kingdom of darkness that will not hesitate to destroy our purpose and our dreams. Okay, there are two types of snakes, all right, that kind of freak me out. Two types of snakes that can kill you, okay? Number one, a venomous snake, okay? Take a look at this disgusting creature. A venomous snake. These snakes, needle-like fangs, inject poisonous venom, which affects the nervous, circulatory, and muscular system. If not treated as an emergency, could be fatal. Okay. So gross. The other type of snake is a constrictor snake, okay? These snakes tighten and suffocate their prey. And each time the victim breathes out, making it increasingly difficult to breathe in, eventually the victim stops breathing altogether. Have you ever felt like there's been poison in your body that's affected your entire state of being? Have you ever felt constricted, like you can't breathe anymore because of the lies and the deceit that have been placed around your life? John 10:10 says this: the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and life to the full. Someone spoke to me recently, this Sunday, and I'm sure they wouldn't mind me saying, but they came up to me on Sunday after one of the services and said, can I speak to you? And I, of course, absolutely. And they just told me how their life literally felt like they were no good. They were rejected in every area of their lives, from family to friends to work, that everywhere they go, they just kept bumping into rejection, where it ended, where this person said, all I want to do is just not exist anymore. I just want to end it all. I said to John, I'm like, my heart just broke, because all I want to do is save that person. All I want to do is rescue them. But I can't do it for you. Someone else can't do it for me. You have to know and understand the truth of who God is in your life. And you also have to be aware that the enemy is a liar and he's a deceiver. You cannot stand on your own believing a lie. I take comfort, and so should you today. Comfort in knowing that in Isaiah 53, the scriptures tell us that Jesus himself was rejected and despised, a man who understood sorrow and pain. When we experience the pain of rejection, we can identify with Jesus and draw strength and healing from him. Isn't that a beautiful thought? That we can take strength from Jesus, knowing that he too was rejected. He feels our pain. He knows what you're going through. He knows the disappointment and the setbacks. But he's also your help. He's also your healer. And he's in the room today. I can feel you, Jesus. Do what only you can do in our lives. A pill can't do it. A self-help book can't do it. Only you can do it. If the snake is rejection, then what is the ladder? The ladder is our acceptance in Christ. Our identity is in him. Our reflection in him, our glory in Him. Real security can only be found in that which can never be taken from you. Your relationship with God, my relationship with God, can never be taken. Ephesians 3 says this, I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width, height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I want to be filled today with all the fullness of God. Because when you're filled up today, you are filled up with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and long suffering. Being filled up. So the question to you today, wherever you're watching, if you're in the room, my question is, what are you rooted and established in? What are you rooted and established in? Is it rejection? Living in despair? Living like the world is against you? Or are you rooted and established in acceptance? Knowing that you are loved, even in your sin, even in your failures, you are loved. You know what the lie of rejection says? I'm unloved. I'm all alone. I'm not enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not thin enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm a failure. I'll never get that right. I'll never make it. You know the scriptures say the enemy is called the father of lies? The father, he is a counterfeit father. It says in John 8, 44, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He is a counterfeit father. He is not your real father. The enemy's desire is to take the place of our heavenly father and distort our belief system. The Lord's desire is to father truth in your life so we can live in freedom. But when the enemy fathers the lie, it's like planting a seed of lie in a sea of truth. Because we don't have our defenses up and we don't have our armor on, we give the enemy access to father that lie. To father it, to nurture it, to speak to it, to feed it, to grow it. And so he fathers that lie. He is the father of lies. In last week, my daughter told me something that was just, I don't like to repeat it, but I'm going to tell you now because I think it will help. She came, she was actually doing a board game for one of her projects at school, but her teacher came up to me and said, I just want to tell you something about Miracle. This was last Friday. And she said, Miracle did this really awesome board game and we were going to play it the next day in school. And this little girl that, you know, kind of has a thing with Miracle, she wrote on Miracle's board game, I hate you. And her teacher said to me, in that moment, I said, Miracle, are you okay? And Miracle looked at her teacher and said, yeah, but I forgive her. I forgive her. And the thing that came to my mind was that my daughter's first instinct was to forgive. You know why? Because she is surrounded by truth and love. She won't believe the lie because that is not what the truth is in her life. If you are aware and cannot identify with that seed, you know that seed, that lie that grinds on you because you know the truth. If you cannot identify with it, only then will you be able to say, you are not my father. You are not my father. I know who my father is. I cannot receive that lie of I hate you. I cannot receive that lie of I'm rejected into my mind, heart, and soul, because I will not partner. Listen, I will not partner with the enemy to father in my life. What are you partnering with today? Do you know the truth of God's word, that you are loved and valued and accepted? Don't let the enemy father that lie. He's done. And you should be done with him. My father, my Abba Father, is full of truth and full of grace. John 1:14 says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. I have a few stories, but this is the last, I promise. My son Justice just came to me as well. It's like my daughter and my son, and it's good because I'm like, oh, I just love it. I love being able to teach my kids the things of God. I love when I hear them speaking the word of God over their lives. My son came to me just the last few months and be like, Bob, he just one day just came and be like, I'm not smart enough, mommy. No, I'm not smart. And then the next day, oh, I'm not cute. You have a lot of pictures of Miracle on the fridge, but I'm not cute. Mommy, you know, I don't think I'm funny. I'm not funny, mommy. So then I'm like, oh, you know what? Instead of me just kind of going, oh, normally I do, Justice, you're funny. You're so cute. Justice, oh, don't be silly. You know what I did? I used a little bit of reverse psychology on him. And is that good or bad? I don't know. Anyways, well, it was good for me. I used a little bit of reverse psychology on him. And the next time he came, he said, mommy, see, you still have pictures of Miracle on there. I'm not cute. And I'm like, oh, you're right, Justice. You're not. And he's like, I'm like, yeah, you said it. You're not cute. And he's like, what? I'm like, yeah, no, you're not cute. You're right. You said it. No, I am. Mommy, I am cute. I'm like, no. You said it. No, you can say, you're definitely not cute. But I am, mommy. I am cute. And I'm like, you see, you got to watch what you speak, my son. And so every time now, whenever he tries to say, I'm not, I look at him. And he knows what mommy's about to say. And then he goes, I am smart. I am brave. I am cute. I am loved. If God can teach a child at the age of 5, what can he teach us? You are loved. You are accepted. You are valuable. The truth of acceptance says this: I am loved because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. I am never alone. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Acceptance says, I am enough. I am God's handiwork, created for good works. I am a winner. Thanks be to God who gives us victory in Christ. I am courageous. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. Romans 8:31 says this. Listen, this is the last of it, I promise. But I hope it's going in today. I mean, just please, Jesus, speak to us so clearly through your word. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us? Whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ died for us and was raised to life for us and is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us? If we have trouble or calamity or persecution or hunger or to be destitute or in danger or threatened with death, verse 37, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither out of fear for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above, in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What will you choose today? The lies or the truth? The snake of rejection or the ladder of acceptance in Christ Jesus? The choice is yours. I have set before you life and death. Blessing or cursing. Therefore, choose life. Amen. Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your word that changes us, transforms us from the inside out, Lord. Oh, more than a self-help book or a pill or a latest magazine of how to get better. And oh, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Your word I will hide in my heart so I won't sin against you. Father, let us believe the truth. We can only believe it if we know it. And to know it is to read it and hear it and meditate on it. Let it speak to us every day. So that we will no longer believe a forfeit father, a counterfeit father, a father that tries to tear us down, but we will be able to recognize and acknowledge that that is not the lie that I choose to believe anymore. I stand and believe the truth that is only found in my Maker, in the sovereign Lord, my King, my Redeemer. So help us to move forward, Lord, to not allow the snake of rejection to take us off the board completely, but that we will see rejection as redirection towards you. Every time we feel rejected, every time we feel pushed back or pushed away or cast aside, it's because something's pushing us closer to you. That our true identity is in you. Our hope is in you. Thank you for accepting us. Thank you for loving us the way we are. And also loving us so that we could also love others in return. In the mighty, awesome, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I pray that blessed you today, church. Be blessed. Have an awesome week.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.